I am a soul that has been set free. I have been forgiven much, and I love much. I love the Lord. Hallelujah. You can't get to know Him and not love Him. I didn't say you can't know Him. I'm saying you can't get to know Him and not love Him. Because we are in a discovery process here. Amen. When you say you know Jesus, you can say, well, I'm getting to know Jesus. He is... Come on, He doesn't fit in our little box, does He? He's not a little pocket Jesus you put in your pocket and say, yeah, me and Jesus go everywhere. No, He's Lord. He is God of gods. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you for coming today. Aren't you glad you didn't listen to that other voice that said, sleep in today or not today, one of these days. Oh, God, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your grace. You know, mercy is you and I not getting what we deserved. But grace is us getting what we didn't deserve also. Amen. We get His life. He gave His life for us. Remember a song years ago. It's an old hymn. Some of you will know it well. It's To God Be the Glory for the Things He Has Done. We need to have a grateful heart. And we need to really get a glimpse of the cross and what actually took place on our behalf. And such love that is measureless and beyond natural ability to comprehend. You can only know the love of God as it's given to you in revelation, as it revealed to you. You cannot intellectualize God's love. You cannot know God. Amen. You can't have a scientific experiment and discover God. I'm sorry what they try to do over in France or whatever with a CERN operation. But, you know, you cannot learn God in a classroom even. God must be revealed to us. And He's revealed by His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. So we want to know Him. And to know Him is to love Him. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You for coming. God bless you all. Are you glad? Yes. Isn't it good? Because Jesus is with us. He promised. There's a special blessing when we are together in fellowship. And it's God's idea for us to come together. Amen? There are no lone rangers in the kingdom. And there are no superheroes in the kingdom. There is only one superhero. Amen. It's all about Jesus. And you and I just say thank You, Jesus, for grace. Thank You for mercy. Lord, what can I do for You? How can I say thanks? And that's the title of today's message, is how can I say thanks? Discovering the heart of God, discovering how good God really is. And creates in us a heart of gratitude. When we discover the goodness of God, it produces genuine thanksgiving, genuine gratitude in our hearts. And you know what gratitude does, right? When we're thankful, it produces authentic praise to God. Amen. You can't give God praise until you're first thankful, until you have a revelation of His goodness, of His mercy. Now, I know we're all a work in progress here. We all have weaknesses. We all have things that we're working through. But, you know, God is faithful. He's faithful to us. And He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And we have to have grace just like God has had grace with us. We need to be gracious with each other as well. Amen? That's not to say that we condone sin. It means that we have to sometimes overlook the fault so that we can see the need there and find out where the real problem is. It's an issue of the heart, and God is the one who does surgery there, not me. How many times have we tried to change each other, right? Change your spouse or change people around you? Have you ever been able to change anybody, really? No, they may alter their behaviors just to please you, but inside, if they're not changed, they're still the same. We can quit doing bad things and bad habits and still not be changed inside. Amen. We can put on a pretty good show if we want to. But it's God who changes the heart of man. Because the natural man, his heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? God searches the heart. And God is the one who does the surgery. And he works from the inside out. In the world, you're working from the outside in. They're trying to. You know? You just paint it up so, just so, and everybody thinks, man, you must have it all together. You look how beautiful you are. But God's looking on the heart and says, ooh, can't look at that. We need the blood of Jesus, amen? Amen. And God applies the blood so that we can be cleansed from the inside. Anybody beside myself had a shower on the inside? How many had a shower on the inside today? Amen? Because there's a special blessing. As we walk in the light as he is in the light, Christ, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. Do you understand? The body needs to be together, needs to be connected because the life is in the blood. And if you're not connected in your own physical body, there's no life. Amen. Because there's no blood to those parts that are disconnected. It'll fall off, won't it? It'll die. So God calls us together as a body in the blood of Christ. Cleanses and heals and brings restoration to us. So it's very important that we understand the importance of this, that it's not only for me, but it's also for my brother and for my sister. Amen. I'm actually not supposed to be living for me anymore. How many knew that? Amen. We're supposed to be living for Jesus now. We're supposed to be living for others now. Well, we've had enough time living for ourselves, and where did that get us? Boy, that food's smelling good, isn't it? Get behind me, Satan. Jesus is Lord. How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. Man, we need a revelation of the love of God, you know? We also need to see ourselves in the proper perspective, too. Like that old song in the 70s, it was, take a look at yourself, and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. You know, whenever we pick out a gift for somebody, we usually try and figure out what they would like. I mean, I do. I'm sure you do, too. You're not going to pick out a gift that they wouldn't like unless you didn't like them, right? You ask the question, what would please them? And what would they delight in? Isn't that true? I love giving gifts, and I like to try to figure out, but sometimes we do it right, and sometimes we don't. You know, sometimes it just becomes the gift that keeps on giving. Hey, didn't I give this to you last year? But we do. We try to examine the individual that we want to bless, and we say, How can I bless them? What would delight them? And isn't that the way it should be for our Father in heaven? What can I do for you, Lord? How can I bless you? How can I love you back? When I look at all that you did for me, things so undeserved, but yet you gave to prove your love for me, what can I do for you, Lord? How can I love you back? I want to live my life for him. I want to live for his pleasure. I want to live for his glory now. I lived selfish for too many years. I'm sick of living for self. I want to live for Jesus. Amen. And living for Jesus also means you're going to live for others. The ones you see. And whenever we come before the Lord, or whenever anyone would approach a king, you don't come empty-handed. You come with something to offer to the king. You come with a gift, and you come with a gift that you believe would delight them. So we need to ask the question, what does God delight in? What could I possibly offer the God who made everything? What do I have that I didn't already receive anyways? Think about it. Don't think too hard. But what is it that we have that we didn't receive anyways? Everything we have was given somehow, some way. It was something that was received. Even if we worked and we made money, well, God gave the job. God gave the ability for you to work. God moved on an employer to say yes to you. Amen? Everything that we have is a gift from God. We need to say thanks in all things. We need to give God thanks. But what do we give back to the God who has everything and has given everything anyways? Well, God says, I want you. I want your heart. I don't want just your works and your service. I want you. I want your heart. I love you. I love you this much. And he spread his arms and he died for us. That's how much I love you. Because I want you to be with me. And I don't want you to be giving yourself away to other gods. And to be indulging in things that would defile you. I want you to be wholly mine. When you meet that guy or that gal, you know, and you're like, man, I've got my eye on him. I've got my eye on her. And I'm so wanting to find out what pleases them because I want to be with them. Amen. And out of love, you know, you walk with this person and with full realization that whatever I do, you know, it could either be a blessing to them or it could be a curse. And God has called us to this relationship of love. And when I discover what pleases my Father, because I love him, I want to obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. And he said, and they're not grievous. In another place, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Folks, you ready? You want to know what God desires? He desires faithfulness. He desires fruitfulness in our lives. Do you know the fruit that God requires is actually the fruit that comes from him also? Fruit of the Spirit. It's not just me going around acting nice, acting like a Christian. You're a hypocrite if you're acting like a Christian. You are a Christian and therefore you bear Christian fruit because you are abiding in him who provides, amen, all that we have need of to bear fruit of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, self-control, all these wonderful things that people are searching for and looking for in the wrong places. They're all found in Christ alone. They're in him. He is the sum of all spiritual things. God desires that we would be faithful to him. Just like when you meet the Mr. Right or the Mrs. Right, you want that person to be faithful to you. Come on. Unless you've got a distorted, you know, view of life and think it's okay just to kind of, you know, spread the love around a little bit. Come on, how many know that's warped thinking? Naturally. You know, it's interesting. You ask young men when they get married, would they rather have a girl that's been around or would they rather have a virgin? And guess what they say? However, oh, no problem. We go out and play the field. You understand why? There's a reason why God has put that in our hearts, that we should be a spouse to one and that it should be for life. And it's a covenant of blood between a man and a woman. Amen. And so because of love, we don't allow ourselves to go into places we shouldn't go with our minds even. Do you know you can commit adultery in your heart without ever touching a woman, just committing the act in your own heart through lust and dwelling in the wrong place? So God doesn't want us to give ourselves away because we are special. We are precious to him. And he's jealous. He's coming for a beautiful bride. He's coming for a holy church, a purified people. Amen. That is going to be presented to Jesus, the glorious church. Amen. So God paid the highest price for our salvation. It's only reasonable that we should offer our bodies back to him, amen, as a living sacrifice. That we should offer back to him the fruits of that salvation. It's really the fruits of that salvation. Now, the Jewish people have a feast called the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. And this was the last great feast of Israel. And it was really a picture of the kingdom of God to come. And that's why we are to pray, "Thy kingdom come," by the way, because there is a kingdom coming. Amen? The kingdom is first among you in spirit, but one day face to face. Jesus Christ is going to come. The Bible says he's going to plant his feet on the Mount of Olives. And he's going to rule out of Jerusalem over all the earth. And the nations are going to be gathered before him. Actually, the nations are going to go up and they're going to celebrate three of the feasts. The first one is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Booths. These three are going to actually, during the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth, the nations are going to come and they're going to celebrate these feasts. And as they come before the Lord in the Feast of Tabernacles, they were to bring of their harvests from the fields as an offering to the Lord. They were to offer these things and to present themselves before the Lord in Jerusalem. All the males were to go up once a year to Jerusalem on the Feast of Tabernacles and to present an offering to the Lord. And we see a type of that, folks, in that we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, have also received mercy. We have received an abundance of grace and of mercy. Amen? And so, as a reasonable service, we are now to offer unto Him the fruit of our lips, giving praise to His name, thanks to His name. Do you understand? When we come before God, we are to come before His presence, Psalms 100, with singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. With the password, what? Thank you. Do you understand? If you want your prayers answered, you better come with a grateful heart, first of all. You need to come with a repentant heart, saying, "Lord, if there's any sin in my life," you don't come before a king, amen, unless you're dressed in the proper attire. And guess what? You don't provide that attire. They provide it for you. God says you need to be holy, amen? And we can't be holy just because we try harder or act like we're holy. We can only be holy because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. He makes me clean, and then God gives us His Holy Spirit. We put on the Lord, amen? And He, as Adam in the beginning, put God on like clothing. And when he sinned, come on, it wasn't like all of a sudden they lost their clothing. What happened to that skin I was wearing? No, it was the holiness of God that they were clothed in. And when he sinned, they lost that. And then they knew that they were naked and they could not any longer be in the presence of a holy God. And it is God himself that provides the robes of righteousness. And the righteousness that we need is not my righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. God also provides all things. You understand, once again, we don't have anything that we didn't receive. But what we have received of, out of gratitude, we should offer back to God. Now, why would we do that if God doesn't need anything? Because God looks upon the heart. And God's after your heart. He's after my heart. So sometimes God will say, "I want you to bless this brother, this sister. I want you to give this. I want you to do this." To test our hearts, to see if we really love Him. You can't fake love. You can't make somebody love you if they don't. Do you understand? God can't make us, love Him. But God does good things for us. Amen. In hopes that we would look beyond the gift to the heart of the giver. For God so loved the world that He gave. Jesus died. Jesus loved. Laid His life down for me. I need to give my life back now to Him. That's the offering. He wants our hearts. Amen? And good works will follow that. Good works are not a means to being right with God. They are a result of being right with God. When my heart is right, I will love, I will give, I will serve, I will bless others. How do I say thanks? Aren't you glad that today we don't have to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to appear before the Lord? Because today we can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Now, remember when Jesus ran into the woman of Samaria at the well in John chapter 4, verse 21? Jesus said to this woman, he said, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." He says, "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is." Everybody say, "Now is." "When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Wow. I don't have to go to some geographic location to have fellowship with God, because I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this temple also belongs to something bigger than itself. It's called the body of Christ. And when I, as an individual, are in right standing with God, and I'm worshiping in spirit and in truth, and you are, and we come together, boy, we have an explosion of glory. Amen? So we don't want to allow anything to defile us, because we are connected to a body. So we need to obey the Lord. The Lord is jealous. He doesn't want us giving ourselves away to other gods, going after other lovers. So the Lord here, he's going to reign over the earth, and people are going to make pilgrimages. The Gentile, the non-Jewish peoples during that time, are actually going to go up to Jerusalem. "Come, let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He shall rule many people and decide for mighty nations far and wide." God is going to be an arbitrator. He's going to stand there and he's going to judge the nations, folks. They're going to come to him with their problems. And guess what? The Bible says that there's going to be peace, universal peace on earth. Peace on earth, goodwill. Have we seen peace on earth, folks? No. Why? Because there's no peace on earth until the Prince of Peace returns. However, we can have peace inside. We can have peace that passes all understanding inside. Amen. Peace of heart, peace of mind. And that peace is having the Prince of Peace in you. And then when Jesus comes, amen, bodily, glorified body, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's going to rule. And guess what? The church will be with him. And there will be nations. They will live for many years. People will live hundreds of years again. But the church has a special assignment. The church is to be with Christ. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. I'm looking forward to that. I want to reign with Jesus. How about you? I don't want to be on this planet when things really break loose. Folks, we're having problems now. Can you see it? Coming quickly, it's coming to America. That's why we need to understand where we stand with God. We may make sure our heart is right. We may better make sure that we're right in the palm of his hand. Amen. Stay close by him. Because God's going to decide your destiny. Ain't nobody going to take liberty on one of his kids. He says, "You're in the palm of my hand. No one's able to snatch you out of my hand." So for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Folks, don't worry about your life. Jesus said, don't worry about your life. Don't fear those who can kill your body and have no more to do with you. I'll tell you who to fear. Fear him who can kill both body and send soul into hell. Fear God. Amen. And repent of your sins and turn to Jesus Christ, and you'll find mercy. And guess what? Your sins will be blotted out, never to be remembered again. Never to be remembered again. Do you have memories of past sins? Yes. Guess what? God says, what sins? Have you repented of them? Have you turned from that way? Have you said, Jesus, I'm sorry for the way I was thinking. It was in rebellion to what you say. If you say, Lord, I repent, I turn to you, and I'm asking you for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Guess what? You'll go back to your house justified. And what he does is he takes those sins and he casts them as far as the east is from the west, what? Into the sea of forgetfulness. never to be remembered again. God doesn't pull them back up and say, you remember what you did? You know, whenever we get into a spat sometimes, you ever been with your spouse? You say, oh, well, remember that? Stamp collecting. God doesn't do that. And neither should we. We forgiven? Have you forgiven? Don't bring it up anymore. We don't come empty-handed before the king. Just as Israel was not to come empty-handed. In Psalms 95 in verse 2 it says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. In John 15 in verse 8, Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear a little fruit, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. It's impossible for you and I to bear fruit apart from him. If we're not walking with him daily, you're not going to produce fruit. If we abide in him, if we continue with him, if we continue in his word, if we continue to listen to his voice, then we will bear much fruit and the Father will be pleased. That's what I can do to give back to God, is to abide in him, is to continue a relationship with him, understanding that everything I do is either going to grieve him or please him. And you don't want to grieve the people you love. We all do it sometimes to our spouse, but when we do it, we feel bad. If you love that person, amen, you feel bad. But sometimes we do that in our weakness. We just say something or do something that was insensitive and we cause an offense at times, sometimes not even realizing what we're doing. But God's not like that, folks. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. I was reading an article a little while ago where God had given someone a revelation. And, you know, I take those with a grain of salt or whatever, because a lot of people are talking about revelations and some of it is just craziness, you know. But there are people who are hearing from God out there. Amen. And I trust that we are here. We pray so. God deliver us from deception and lies. But he was saying, you know, that one of the problems and reasons why our prayers are hindered and they're not getting through is because of this. There's a lack of gratitude. There's a lack of thanksgiving in the prayer. You understand? When you give a gift to your child, you know, you want that child just to say, thank you. Mom, I love you. You don't want them to say, whatever. That's not right. You know, I watched some of this. Yes, I slipped into a momentary backslide one time and watched America's Funniest Home Videos. Oh, yes. And there's these children getting these gifts on Christmas morning. And it only happens in America, I'm sure, like this. But they're getting these expensive gifts, you know. But it wasn't what they wanted. Or it wasn't to the level of their expectation. And you hear these little brats, ungrateful brats, say, I hate you. And everybody goes, oh, isn't that cute? They hate mom, you know. Of course, we don't think that's cute, do we? But it's not even funny. It's sad. You know, that in America, we've got so much and we're so spoiled and so ungrateful. And isn't it interesting? The people where they don't have much sometimes have the greatest level of appreciation for things. And somebody gives them a gift or gives them something. You know, they're so appreciative. I mean, people will go out of their way. You know, I've been in places like that, you know, where people will go out of their way to give you their best. They had one chicken for that week and guess what? You got to eat it. Amen. They had one bed in the house and guess what? You got to sleep on it. Because they have such a heart of gratitude. And you know, God sees that. And even though they may be poor in this world, there are many who are poor in this world who are going to be extremely rich in that world. Because they have a heart of gratitude. And a heart of gratitude will also produce a heart that gives God praise. And when there's praise, there is His presence. And in His presence, there is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. It begins with gratitude. It begins with thanksgiving. And in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ that concerns you. I think we're very spoiled in America. I've heard it said before, I've said it, but even the poor in this nation live like kings of antiquity. So be grateful. And if you want your prayers unhindered, come before God with a grateful heart. Begin to reflect on all that the Lord has done for you. We sing this song when we go out to the Shelton Rehab every week. We go Thursdays at 10. Anybody's welcome to come with us. Have a great time with the folks out there. But it's called Count Your Blessings. It's an old hymn. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You see, it's so important that we have a grateful heart and we maintain that even when things don't go our way, even when there is a loss, we need to simply look around and say, but look what the Lord has done for me. Look how God has taken care of me. Look how the Lord has comforted me. The Lord has provided for me way beyond even what we would necessarily call needs. Amen? Because He's that kind of Father too. But sometimes, folks, because we don't have the right attitude and the right heart, God's not going to entrust you more because He knows that He'll just make you more spoiled. Come on, when your kids are ungrateful, you don't want to give them any more. It'll be the last time you get a candy bar. Well, maybe not the last time, but we want to teach our kids the value of things, right? It's always just handed to you, you know. Never had to work for anything. You don't know how to appreciate anything. You know? The same thing in the Lord, you know, there's a price to pay. Even for the anointing. You want to follow God, it's going to cost you. You're not going to be the most popular kid on the block anymore. You're going to find out that you used to get along with a lot of people, now you get enemies. And all you're doing is trying to love them. Isn't it true? That's what Paul meant. He said, the more that I love, the less that I'm loved. The more that I'm being real with people and telling them the truth, the more that they hate me. And they'll lie about you and cast you out of their company. How many know that's called the sufferings of Christ? We're partaking in that together. But if we suffer with Him, we shall reign with Him. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. How about the fruit of saved souls because of your witness? Because you were willing to pay the price to talk to somebody about Jesus. You were willing to be rejected, despised, like Jesus, to speak the truth in someone's life. You were willing to pay the price. How about good fruit of good works done in His name? Not dead works. Dead works are good works we do that God didn't tell us to do. But good works, when the Holy Spirit says, I want you to do this. I want you to call this person. I want you to pray for this person. I want you to bless this person. And sometimes God will have you bless people that don't deserve it. Yes. Bless those who... But if we obey the Spirit, God will be pleased. The good fruit of love. Everything is based out of love. Amen. And you know what? I've said this before, but we are not allowed to speak into somebody's life unless it is done in love. We can be correct about a situation, but if it's not in love, it's illegal. Yeah, amen. You don't care about that person's soul? Then shut up. The fruit of blessing others. The fruit of blessing others. Wow. Folks, the more I get a revelation of the mercy of God, the love of God When I look at the cross, when I think and I dwell and I think on what he did and how undeserving I was, it changes you. You want to say, Lord, what can I do for you? How can I say thanks? How can I love you back? If we're not loving God back, it's because we're lacking revelation or we've forgotten what the Lord has done for us. We got to get back to the cross. We need to take a look at ourselves again in light of what Jesus did. It was our sins that put him on that cross. And he did it while we were still or yet sinners. For God so loved the world. God loves us. Thank you, Lord. How can I say thanks? By offering my life back to him. How can I say thanks? By totally. Everybody say totally.
Totally.
Committing
my life to
him. How many have totally committed your life? How many regret totally committing your life to God? I didn't see any hands. Amazing. There's joy when we learn to love the cross. There's joy in the Lord in obedience. We are to live a life such a way, our life such a way that in the day we see Jesus, we're not going to be empty-handed. When we come before the King in that day, oh Lord, I've gone and I've brought others with me. I've taken your divine money. I've utilized the giftings you gave me and I've increased what you gave me. And I didn't come empty-handed before the King. Do you understand? We all have our day in court. That day in court is coming. What are you doing with what you have received from the Lord? Are we giving back to God? Are we loving back to God? Maybe we need to get back and take another look at the cross and understand what God did for me so I can have an appreciative heart, amen, and say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to give myself completely to you now. You know, I've discovered something. That when I was a young man, I got saved when I was like 26, 27. And I made attempts, you know, because I had some friends that got saved and we were partying buddies and they got saved and then they tried to bring me to church. And so I would make the step, I'll go to church with you. You know, I'd go there and then I maybe had a good experience there, but then something would happen and I'd fall on my face. And then a little while later, I'd get back up and then somebody else would invite me and I'd go somewhere. And all these things started happening along the way. But what was happening is I kept failing over and over again. Anybody been there beside myself? You were trying to make the right steps and the right changes and to do the right thing, but you just kept failing over and over again. Just couldn't seem to get it right. And then the devil comes along and he says, you might as well just throw in the towel because you're never going to get it right. And you know what the answer is to that? You're absolutely right. I'm not going to be able to get it right in myself. But by the power of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen? And I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength, the ability to rise up above these things and live in victory. I am no longer a slave of fear. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. My identity is a son of God. John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God. I'm a son. I'm not a slave anymore. Hallelujah. No longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Sing it again. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You need to sing that more often, amen, because the devil hates it. He doesn't want you to believe that. He doesn't want you to believe who you are. He wants you to live out of the past and live out of your old identity and accept the things that were as if they are now. Instead of saying, no, that was, this is now. This is who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. In my mind, it has to be renewed. It has to come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen. So that what is in reality in my spirit is now my mind is also going to submit to that. And then your body will live out the rest too. What can I do for you, my King? What can I do for you, Lord? Jesus willingly gave his life. How can I say thanks? I'm going to finish with this. It's another old hymn I love. It's called Jesus Paid It All. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. How can I say thanks for the things You have done for me? Things yet You gave to prove Your love for me. The voices of a thousand angels could not, or a million, could not express my gratitude. All that I am or ever hope to be, I give it all to You.